This is React Podcast. I'm Chantastic.
This week on React Podcast, we sit down with James K. Nelson. We discuss what makes React hard to learn and how he's addressing that with his teaching platform, FrontArm.com. We talk about learning React without the buzzwords, his new router, Navi, and how to make some React bacon. This is a great episode for those who have had trouble keeping up with React in the past and want to discover and master the things that have remained the same. This week is sponsored by G2i, a hiring platform that specializes in proficient and efficient React talent. Hiring is an expensive process. Just finding candidates can slow your team's productivity to a grinding halt. And there's a huge gap between resume and React proficiency. You could roll the dice, test your hiring abilities, and put your goals at risk, or you could hire G2i to find the perfect developer for you right now. G2i finds the best React and React Native talent available and determines in which areas they're the strongest. Engineers have been vetted through React-specific code reviews and technical interviews. And when you work with G2i, those scores and notes are provided to you upfront, saving you time and energy, and keeping your team focused on building the product, not finding a needle in a haystack. Let G2i solve your hiring problem for you. Visit g2i.co today and find a developer handpicked for your team and application stack ready to go. G2i, we vet, you hire. It's that simple. James, welcome to the show. It's so good to have you.
Thanks for having me. This is kind of new for me, so it's fun.
So this is quite a cross-continental call. Where are you joining us from today?
Right now, I'm in Tokyo and at a station called Gotanda. So they call it Gotanda Valley in some of the news because there's a lot of tech companies around here.
Nice. I was actually just watching a TED Talk with David Sivers, and he was introducing this concept that I've never even heard of before, but that in Japan they name their blocks, not their streets. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true. So it's impossible to find anything. I'm lucky that I first came over here in the age of Google, because yeah, otherwise I would have been completely lost.
That's so wild. It's so fascinating to me that different cultures have such different ways of doing things. But I'm sure that our system probably seems insane to someone who's grown up with that.
Maybe. I think that most people I've talked to find our system easier to use. So.
Nice. Well, maybe we're getting something right. So for those who are unfamiliar with you, tell me a little bit about yourself, what you do, where you're doing it, and why.
Okay. So I'm trying to teach people front-end development, basically. And I do it by myself. So it's mostly just like me. I sometimes work with a few local people and a few not so local people as well. But why I'm doing it? Well, partly because I got to pay the bills, if I'm going to be honest. But I mean, I've done other things. And I think this is one of the more fulfilling things I've done, because it's always fun to be able to see people grow and pick up new skills and then get a job and that kind of thing. So, you know, it's not the easiest way to pay the bills, but it does feel nice doing it, I guess.
Yeah. It's a very like kind of virtuous thing to be able to help other people do work. Now, are you still working as a, you know, in React, or is it all education? And what were you doing before?
So I do some little jobs. Or not so little jobs, but I do build apps and things like that on the side when I need to, or when a good project comes up. But before this, I've done a few things. I was working for like a finance firm for a few years. But before that, it was mostly freelance since I graduated high school, I think. So it's just been little projects here and there most of the time.
That's awesome. Now you have, I have to say, you're course material has been like blessed by the grandfather of all things React. There's a tweet out there by Dan saying that this is, you know, kind of some of the best material, or I think maybe the best material at the time on React. So how does that feel? How does it feel to have someone like Dan endorsing so strongly what you're doing?
It feels good. I mean, it was a long time ago, I want to say. I mean, that tweet was about something I wrote probably 3 or 4 years ago. So, but it's good. I think, though, this might sound strange, but I actually find it more enjoyable when people who've gone through it and actually learning new stuff send me an email and say, hey, I've been using your stuff and it helped me get a job or something like that. Because, I mean, that's really what I'm aiming for. I want to help people actually learn. And it's great that Dan likes it. And that, it feels really good too. But the best part about that is it helps other people find it and then get more stuff out of it. So that's, I really appreciate it for that.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite success stories in educating people in React?
So I don't have any stories in particular. It's just like when people say that some people have said to me, oh, I've gone through your course and it's helped me like take what I know and actually get a better job. When people give specifics, like it's helped me get this job or it's helped me make this project or that kind of thing, then I really like it when that happens.
Now, I feel like one of the reasons that I really want to get you on is because I feel like we share this, I guess, value for fundamentals. And I think your course, I can't remember the title of it, but it basically like without JSX, without Webpack, without like any of the stuff, I think it's now called like React Without Buzzwords. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I deeply identify with that approach. And when I try to teach, newcomers into React, I usually start at that same point. Like we got to get like, start from like the basics. Don't like pile on all of this stuff. So, I know that kind of desire for fundamentals kind of, for me, started in music. Where would you say that came from for you? I know that everyone has a unique place where those values start to like take form. And is this something consistent for you, or is it like just in React?
I think there's probably two places. One is that I studied math. So the only way you're ever going to get anywhere in math is if you learn how it works, as opposed to just how to get the right answer. I mean, getting the right answers works for a while, but at some point you have to start learning the fundamentals or you just got lost. So that's part of it. Another part I think is just, I think that's the best way to teach effectively. And the reason I think that is because one of my first jobs was working at a call center for an ISP. So I was one of the support guys, and we were all guys. I think maybe 99% would be an understatement, but, and so we'd get calls mostly from older people who would be like, oh, my internet's not working. And it would be very stressful for them. And you could tell, and you just have to, I mean, it was easy enough to fix, but the big problem was actually getting just comforting them through walking through the steps to like plug their modem back in or saying, yeah, it's okay to pull the cable out and plug it back in. You're not going to break anything. And just actually getting people to take those steps and try things out, I think is really important. And I learned that from that. So I think if you want to make people take small steps, then you have to start with the fundamentals. And so that's part of it as well.
I like this idea of guiding people through the process. And I think that you've done that well. I think that being able to break down or like kind of pull away some of the things that are hard and get back to those basic concepts has been really a very strong quality of the things that you write and the way that you teach. What are some of the things that you think make learning React hard?
So there's a few things. I think one of them is the fact that it's, as much as I might try and tell people it's just JavaScript, that's kind of like a little white lie to make them feel more comfortable with JavaScript. There's a whole bunch of stuff involved. So you're not going to actually write a real app without JSX. But it used to be that you could throw in a script tag in the HTML and JSX would work, but I don't think that's really supported anymore. So you have to get NPM installed and install a build system. And I remember when I was first starting out with JavaScript, well, not with JavaScript, but with Node.js, that was really confusing. Mm-hmm. Like, what's this require thing? I don't remember ever learning about require. And I think it's a little bit easier now. But so the build side of it is one thing. And that's a Create React app has made that a lot easier, but it's still a big obstacle, I think, to starting off. And another one is that there's a lot of different ways to do things. So people, I think, like often like to have the one right, blessed way to do things, which is not really how we do it in the React world. So I think I was listening to your podcast with Kent C. Dodds, the second one, and said something along the lines of best practices, and then there was a bit of laughing. And I think the same thing. I don't particularly like the idea of best practices either. I've got into arguments with coworkers over them not really existing before. But the fact that there are really no best practices in the React world does, I think, make it a little bit harder for people who are just wanting to start out. And it's not like they have to have a perfect way. They just want one way to do things, and they just want to learn that, and then they can go on and learn other ways after that. So
that is interesting. I've always thought best practices were particularly laughable in React, because like the whole premise of React, or like the way they pitched it initially, is like rethink best practices and practices. And so it's always funny to hear best practices in association with React, which was kind of the premise of it was to like be disruptive against the existing best practices.
I don't like the idea of best practices, but the thing is, there are kind of best practices, even if we're not allowed to call them that. Like, for example, now I think that the best practice is you put your state in a hook, even though you could put your state in a component state, like a class component.
Yeah.
Or another one, I was just asking on Twitter, like, do people put their components in one file or multiple files? And there seems to be a bit of a best practice there, even though we're not allowed to call that a best practice either. And yeah, so there are these best practices, and I think, or not best practices, but conventions maybe would be a better word to use. And so I think it might help beginners if some of these could actually be like agreed upon. As like, you can do it your own way if you want, but this is what everyone does. And that's one of the comments I hear from people who are starting out with React, like with Web React, after they've been using React Native for a while. So, you know, in the React Native community, there's a lot more agreement over this is the tool you use for this, this is the tool you use for this. You can do it your own way if you want, but, you know, if you're just starting out, and use these. And that's really helpful for a lot of people from what I hear.
Do you feel like some of those conventions are driven by native development in general having more of those practices, or at least those communities having a little bit more structure around their apps? Or is that just the React Native community?
I couldn't say really, because I've really spent most of my time doing web development. Dabbled in native where I have to, but I usually try and avoid it.
So for someone starting out today, what are some things that you think are good starting practices? Now, I know that a lot of times they can degrade as you get into bigger apps. And that's kind of a challenge of its own, like saying what is going to be good, you know, for the whole course of the life of an app, because those things might change and be the inverse, you know, later. But what are some practices that you think are really good as someone who's just starting out? You know, these, you know, five or so things are like really good practices for you to start.
Wow, that's a tough question.
So I guess to further clarify that, so like in terms of like foldering, you just said that there's some like, you know, practices that may be good or bad. Do you have a something that you recommend to people who are asking themselves that question?
So I've been thinking about this a bit, because I'm actually creating a course at the moment which walks from the start of like just NPM init to actually having a full app. And the approach I'm taking is I'm trying to do this course kind of like how I'd build my own app, so if I was building it for myself. And so that means I just throw everything into a single file at the start, because I think, you know, you can say, oh, we want to do it this way and this way, and this is clean. But the reality is, I think most people just throw everything into a single file at the start. And then, you know, once you start finding things which are reused, no, like even more than just a single file. I mean, I have an app component and that has most of the app in it. And once I think, oh, okay, I'm going to reuse this piece of code or pull that out into a separate component within the same file. And then, you know, once I find that maybe I have a few different routes, I'll pull some stuff out into separate files for routes. And if I have to reuse components, I'll pull that out. But I think the main thing is just don't worry too much about the structure to start, because you're not going to know the best way to structure an app until you've actually started building it and you start to see the patterns, because the patterns differ in every app, I think.
What are some of the strategies that you've seen with regard to component organization?
So I think there's two broad classes. Like, some people try and put all of their files for a related concept together, and some try and put all of the files for, say, a specific type of file together. Hmm. So the type of file, like Rails does it that way. They have views and they have models and controllers. And like, I come from Rails, so I kind of like that way. But then I think a lot of people also try and have all of their files for a specific concept. I think you can have a mix of two as well. Like you can have, say, if you have an account management screen, you can have all the views in for an account management screen in one directory and all of the controllers in another. Mm-hmm. I think part of the thing that makes that hard with React is that we don't have this clear distinction between controllers, views, and models.
Yeah.
We just have components. And I think that's part of the reason that it's hard to structure an app is because it's like, well, there's a lot of different types of components, but they're all still components. And so there's no easy way to sort of break them into separate types of directories. And so you end up trying to structure by related functionality, but that's, I think, a lot harder to do. And it's a lot harder to, especially at the start, because with a Rails app, the great thing about it is you can generate it and you have these directories and you know which one you want to put stuff in. Whereas if you're trying to group stuff by related functionality, then you don't know how you're going to group it until you've already got the functionality.
It's so true. And especially if you have components that are like very small, those go in this kind of like generally shared bucket, which
yeah.
always kind of ruins any type of structure that you might have thought you had.
Yeah. So I've got a way of doing it, but it's I've had like many different ways of doing this over the years. So my current way of doing it, which I don't know, I think it's stayed stable longer than most of them, is to have a directory for routes. So I think they're a little bit like controllers in the Rails world, but basically just routes. So they have, they're a general purpose component and they just have one component for each screen and they'll do a lot of the glue code, I guess. Then I'll have another directory for styled components, which, they're just styled components. They don't have to be like styled components. They can use CSS props or just be plain components that have styles or use CSS, but they just add styles and then just have like a general components directory. So I think that's kind of similar to the model view controller thing. Maybe not exactly similar, but it's closer than a components directory and that's it.
Yeah, it's funny. I also come from a Rails background and I think that's actually how we kind of actually started talking on Twitter. And It's interesting because it can be really nice to have these conventions to lean on, even if you know you risk maybe going in the wrong direction sometimes because of the conventions. As opposed to, I think you're totally right. Sometimes in React, it can feel so overwhelming because you have all of these, you know, when you're first approaching it, because you have all of these different things, but they're all just a component, and until you have the skills, it's hard to recognize like what each one falls into, and you really can't assume much about them until you've actually looked at the code. And you know that can be really daunting sometimes if it hasn't been done just right.
yeah. So it can take a little while, I think, before you can really, even if you've been doing it for a long time. I think every different project is different is one of the big problems as well. Like you might have to create an app which doesn't have any routes, and then you're stuffed because it's like, what do I do now?
Absolutely. So you have a very unique platform for teaching people React. Tell me a little bit about Frontend Armory.
Yeah, so Frontend Armory is my platform for teaching React and JavaScript and just front-end engineering in general. And the main feature of it is it encourages interaction. So it's got this editor called DemoBoard in it. And you can use the demo board yourself if you're learning, but it's also there so that authors can actually quickly write examples. So the whole idea behind it is that it should be easy to create interactive content, which encourages the people who are learning, encourages students to get in and try out examples and try everything out as often and as early as possible. So it's basically trying to teach through, I guess, I don't know what, I forget what it's called. There's a book called The Little Schema and it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It teaches through asking questions. So you read that?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It uses the, what do they call that? The Socratic method.
Yeah. Right? That's exactly what I was looking for. The Socratic method. So, I mean, I don't think I'm actually going to be able to create a Socratic method introduction to React as much as I would like to, because no one would read it. But that was kind of my thought, is how could I turn the little schema into a website and front end memory?
That's interesting. I haven't read that book in a really long time, but if I remember correctly, it's like I do remember it having a profound impact on the way that I thought about teaching, because it illustrates two interesting things. Like, one, it asks the questions, right? So it's like, hey, you know, how do you do this? And then you do it, and then it asks another question that kind of will either build on that concept or maybe break the previous one down, which is very fascinating. But the other thing is, I remember reading those chapters and finding that they would give you a sentence about the thing that they're telling you about, and it would be true in isolation, but they would keep amending to it and kind of like introducing these things that make it not completely true.
Right.
And I loved that model of teaching.
It reminds me of high school chemistry, where you learn all this stuff and then you get to the next year and you're like, well, everything you learned last year was wrong. And it's like, but the good thing about that is that you don't get overwhelmed as you learn, because you've tried to teach someone university chemistry when they're like 14 or 15, and just that no one would get anywhere, because they'd be like, well, I'm not doing this. So if you teach something and you can feel confident with that, and you feel like, okay, I understand this now, and then you can say, well, you're wrong, but you know, those gradual steps.
You're wrong, but you're wrong in the right direction.
Yeah, that's right. You've built some sort of intuition for an underlying concept, which is important to have, and that's going to be useful whether it was exactly correct or whether it's a little bit, it has more, if there's a little bit to build on. But yeah,
I think this is interesting, and it really kind of plays into that analogy that you drew earlier in actual like supporting a product over the phone, of really giving someone the confidence to continue to move forward, kind of coming alongside them and saying like, hey, you can actually do this. I know that it's like daunting or worrisome, but you can do this. And that's something I find fascinating about you having developed your own platform for allowing people to learn by doing, is that you've taken away all of those things that are the initial hurdle for a lot of people wanting to learn, which is like, okay, well, you have to install Node. You have to, I mean, because even if you do create React app, like some people, it's like they don't have Node installed on their system, right?
Yeah, exactly. One of my most popular videos that I've ever done, I did it a few years ago, so it's like, how do you install Node.js? And hundreds of people have subscribed to my YouTube channel just because I have this how to install Node.js video. It's way more popular than anything I've done on React. So it's, yeah.
It's amazing, because we forget sometimes, you know, just how many things are like in between, you know, writing React app and like just getting started. I love that one of your most popular videos is getting that installed, because I think that is, you know, there's so many things that we just assume that can't really reasonably be assumed. I think that's even like going back to the beginning of our conversation, like, you know, illustrated by like, you know, just being in Japan, it's like they name the blocks, not the streets. It's like, there's so many things that we just kind of carry into, you know, every conversation as assumptions that, you know, are really hard to assume if you're just getting started. So you have a course, talking about just getting started, you have a course called React and Bacon, and it leads you through like how to build something that'll actually make you money on the internet. Tell me about that. I love that premise so much. So tell me about that course and kind of what the purpose of it is.
Okay, so, well, I started with one called React Without the Buzzwords, and that just kind of teaches React. But the thing that people ask is like, okay, I know how to use like elements and components and stuff. What am I actually going to do? And I mean, even if you know how to use elements and components, there's so many different pieces involved in creating a real application. So like, what build system are you going to use? What API are you going to use? What backend? Because you're going to need a backend if you're going to create something. You might not want to build the backend yourself, but you're still going to have to think about that.
Yeah.
How are you going to structure it? So what router are you going to use? How are you going to style your components? There's all of these different things. There's all of these different tools. And it's just, I think there's a difference between learning React and learning how to build something with React. They're like two different problems. And so what I want to do with React and Bacon is teach you how to build something with React. So basically you start from NPM init and then build something which can accept payments and you could actually use as like a subscription box website. So it's actually going to create a real product which you could sell stuff with if you wanted, or you could build on it to create like a SAA, software as a service product or something like that. So that's the idea behind it.
That's awesome. One of my favorite Rails tutorials is railstutorial.org. And I remember the thing that I took away most from that course was like in the first, I think it's like the first chapter or the first couple of chapters, he just has you deploy like a stock generated Rails app to Heroku. And I remember thinking like, yes, like that is, that's the most important thing, right? Like I'm here to learn how to make something, right? Like I'm not here to like learn like the best practices of Ruby or whatever. Like I had an idea for something and I landed on your site because I want to put it out into the world. And I remember finding that you know, just generated Rails app that was like sitting on Heroku somewhere more inspiring than any other tutorial I'd been through before, because I already had something, like it was just waiting for me to fill it out.
That's really interesting. That's what I'm working on now for React and Bacon is deploy basically a tiny little landing page to Firebase, which is kind of, I guess, the Heroku of React now, it seems. So
yeah,
it's good to hear, good feedback.
So for people who are just getting started today, I want to kind of like bring this home a little bit, but what are some good places for them to start? Like what are some like core concepts that you think are going to be really important for any of them, whether that be kind of newer JavaScript concepts or, you know, new React stuff? Obviously React has changed a lot over the last, you know, few months. What are the things that they should just really be hammering on as their first principles?
Yeah, so I guess it depends on where you are at the moment. So if you're already pretty familiar with JavaScript and like recent JavaScript, because you've been using say Vue or Angular or something, then I think it's the best place to start with React itself is probably Elements and JSX and just understanding what's going on there. So I guess the way I would decide what to work on or what to study is, every time you watch a video of Jeff Bezos in it, he asks this question, which is, or he says this thing, which is that people ask him what's going to change, that he thinks what's not going to change is more interesting. Like what's going to be the same in 5 years? And for him, it's that people are going to want cheaper prices and faster delivery. Right. And for the React world, it's still going to be using JSX and Elements. So, like getting as good an understanding or as deep an understanding of Elements as you can, I think is like a really important thing. And the great thing about it is you know it's going to be the same in however many years. So it's not something that's going to be a waste of time no matter how you look at it.
So for Elements, that would be kind of the different models of like composing elements, kind of what the, like how to work with children, you know, JSX, just kind of like what that actually means and how that relates to the underlying, you know, create element functions.
Yeah. I think that's really important to understand. Like one of the pieces of feedback I get often, because I run meetups in Tokyo. If you're ever in Tokyo and you want to speak, come talk to me. We're always looking to But so if we're waiting for people to set up a projector or something like that, one of the little talks I'll go into is what the difference is between an element and a component and instance. And people always come up to me and I get more good feedback from like impromptu talks on that than I do from things I've been preparing for like days. So I think it's really important to understand how JSX maps to create element, what create element returns, the fact that it's an object and that it's not like mutable, and things like that. So that's what React About Buzzwords goes into. But you can learn a lot of that on the React website now. The documentation now is great. It's improved a lot over the past few years.
Now, if someone wants to get into React eventually, but they're really coming from no web, no programming experience at all, what are some things that you see as like critical knowledge to be successful in just learning React?
Okay, so JavaScript's basic concepts, so things like mapping over arrays is really important. Just getting an understanding of array functions, getting an understanding of functional programming. So it kind of sounds funny, but reading a little schema would be a really good way to improve your understanding of sort of the foundation concepts you need for React. Also just messing around with Node.js, I think, like, because even if your React app doesn't use Node.js, the React world is built on Node because that's what Create React App uses, Next.js uses it, Gatsby uses it. You're going to be working with Node. And so even if you don't want to, it's really important to get familiar with how all of that works too.
Yeah, that's interesting. There are so many things that I feel like we take for granted in that space in particular. I was at a training the other day, and someone had done like beautiful work in, you know, setting up a little server that was able to, run all the examples and give you great errors and all that kind of stuff. But I was sitting next to someone who had zero command line experience, and when they wanted to change the examples, they're like, "How do I quit this thing?" It's like, well, Control C, which makes no sense. If you're not used to that, like, you would have no context for why Control C would do anything.
I mean, I grew up using the command line because one of my first computing experiences where I had to like figure out how to get extended memory working so that my favorite game would work again, after my DOS game would work after the computer shop messed up the configuration files. So, but even then, like, I'd been using command line since I was like 8, and I got into, I think, maybe Node.js like a long time ago now, or Rails, I think it might have been before that. And I was like, how do I quit the server? I didn't, like, hours of Googling to figure out I needed to type Control C. So I put that into my tutorials now. I'm like, you need to press Control C to close this. Because I remember that.
It's completely not intuitive. Oh, man. But yeah, I think that's interesting. It sounds so weird to say, you know, today, like, oh, if you want to build a website, you have to learn Node. But it's totally true. I mean, at least like a basic understanding of it, of that, and kind of the modules, which is kind of its own, you know, bag of hurt,
right?
Because, you know, the different module systems, but it's all stuff that you have to know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you can kind of get away without knowing too much about a lot of the module systems if you stick with Create React App. Mm-hmm. I think Create React App is great because it just makes it so you don't have to understand how Webpack works anymore. You don't have to understand really how Babel works. Like, you can focus at least at the start on figuring out how React works, and you can come back to that later. Whereas at least you need to at least be able to install Create React App, and understanding ES6 modules is important. A lot of JavaScript introductions don't go into that because the browser doesn't support them. So that's...
Yeah.
There's a lot of little tricky bits there too. So that's really important to get.
Now, do you feel like learning HTML inside and out is going to be helpful or challenging to your understanding of React Elements?
That's a good question. I think it'll be helpful because you would have to understand what the different elements are. And that's important for accessibility. You don't want to just make everything a div, but... Mm-hmm. At the same time, you can just make everything a div when you're starting out. It's not going to hurt if you're just creating little toy apps to learn how JavaScript works. So, and even now, I mean, I only remember most of the HTML elements which existed 15 years ago. I have to like Google to find different elements when I want to use something other than like a div or a span or a paragraph tags.
It was a lot easier back then, wasn't it?
It was.
So as we wrap up, I just want to give you an opportunity to talk about some of the open source that you're working on. I know that recently you've been kind of talking about getting ideas for and working through Navi. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. You can correct me on that. So tell me a little bit about what you're working on there, what your goal is for that way of navigating around a React app.
Yeah, so... My original goal of Navi was to make a router which is composable. And so I started it even before React Router 4 existed, and then React Router 4 existed, and I was like, well, that's composable. So, but I think mainly Navi has come out of front-end Armory, because for front-end Armory, I wanted to be able to do it as a statically built website. So I want all of the files to be built statically at build time and then just put on a S3 or Netlify or any of those. Mm-hmm. And so Navi is designed to make that possible and to make server rendering of the same stuff possible as well. So it's really focused on building websites as opposed to apps, I guess. And part of that is it's got a big focus on pages. So I think kind of like in Rails, you'd have a controller, and so you'd be able to just say, I want this data for this page, and then you'd call render, and then you'd pass all that data to the view, and then it would just render it. And so I'm going for a similar kind of model with Navi,
right,
where you have these route functions, and they pull all the data in that you need for a page, and then they just render it, so pass it to a React component, which is kind of like your view. So that's the idea. The idea is a little bit nicer than the reality, I think.
It always is, isn't it? Like, it always takes a lot of time to actually like make those two kind of somehow meet in the middle.
Yeah, especially with GraphQL and Firebase, which let you have these dynamic queries so that the data keeps updating. So at the moment, it works great if your data is static. It works as well if your data is not static, but I don't think it works any worse than the alternatives. Like Next.js has get initial props, which is also like a get all the data at the start. And
yeah.
So it's actually figuring out how to make it work so that you can specify your data dependencies for each route, and then they'll stay up to date is what I'm working on now when I get time, which I don't. But yeah, that's what I'm aiming for, is to figure that out.
Awesome. Well, if people want to help you out with that, where's the best place to find that and contribute to it?
Okay, so it's on GitHub. It's under the Frontend Armory account, which is GitHub/frontarm. And yeah, if you leave an issue there, it's most active project I've ever had, which isn't saying that much, but people do leave issues and make pull requests. And so you can contribute there if you'd like to help out. That'd be great.
Awesome. Well, if people want to find out more about you or just talk with you, what's the best way to start a dialogue with you?
Probably the best way is to get in touch is Twitter. So I have direct messages open. You can send me a message anytime. If you just want help with React or with Navi or any of that, then give me a message. I always like getting messages. And sometimes I don't reply all that fast, but usually I try and reply like in a day. I don't have that many messages yet.
Nice. And how can people sign up for FrontArm?
Okay, so FrontArm is frontarm.com. And there's a whole bunch of free content. The blog is everything on the blog is free. I haven't been updating that as much as I should be lately, but that's because I've been working on React and Bacon. And as that, I think we're up to about almost up to three sections now. And for each of those sections, I'm going to start putting some free content on the blog. So yeah, if you go to frontarm.com, you can just, you can read whatever's available for free. And if you decide you want to go into the details and dive more into React and Bacon, then you can just, follow the links and figure it out.
Awesome. Well, I'm really excited to see how the rest of React and Bacon pans out, because I know that was the critical moment for me in learning Rails, was like finding that tutorial that helped me put something online that was actually meaningful to me. So I hope that you can be the one to kind of inspire the React generation of developers in the same way.
I'm going to give it my best. That's what we say here in Japan.
Awesome. Well, James, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing what you know with us.
Thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's my pleasure. And, I hope to have you on again soon after you've inspired the next group of React developers to kind of do their best.
Yeah, let's be fun to see how it goes.
Hey, thanks for listening to our show. You stuck around, so you must have liked something about it. All of us who work on it appreciate your time and are grateful that you're here to listen. A big thanks to James for coming on the show and sharing with us. See what he's up to at frontarm.com and level up your career by mastering the things that won't change. If you're new to React, I cannot reiterate enough how important it is to develop a strong sense of React elements, components, and what the heck it is that JSX does. Mastering these skills will serve you well. Thanks to G2i, first, for being a sponsor of this show and making this episode possible. And second, for providing a great hiring platform built exclusively for us React developers.
If you need a React developer on your team, visit g2i.co today and trust them to find you an amazing one.
This episode of React Podcast was edited by Mikhail Delport. It was produced by Mikhail Delport and Sarah Jackson. You can find React Podcast on Spec, a network to help designers and developers level up. Visit spec.fm to find other shows that will take you further in your career. Help us out by reviewing this show on iTunes. Your reviews help the show grow and help us ensure great guests and awesome content week to week. To join the discussion, visit reactpodcast.com/chat or follow us on Twitter at reactpodcast. I'm at Chantastic. To stay out of the discussion but get updates, visit reactpodcast.com/news and sign up for emails. Thanks so much for giving us your attention. We'll be in your ears again next week.